Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to our Thursday edition of Point of View. As you know, we've changed things slightly. I'm not going solo this Thursday as usual. We've kicked it off and it's going to be here to stay. So, Gugu, I think Gugu just let the cat out of the bag. So we can safely say now, I do have a co-pilot. She's going to be with me until 10. And she is none other than Florence Masebe, who's in studio in the flesh with me. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Good evening to you and good evening to the listeners. Yes, I'm staying. I'm not guesting. I'm co-presenting. Yes. I'm steering the ship. I took the keys. I know the passwords.
Yeah.
I am a part of this until the last minute.
Until the last minute. So we have a jam-packed show. We are going to be starting with some hard stories and then we'll ease into the weekend,
yeah.
You and I. And then I don't know by the end of the show whether your legs will still be standing.
I don't know. You know, I agreed to come and do this thinking, hey, she's going to go easy on me. I'm a chakra auntie that just chills and finds peace in the world. And then here you are sending me into this and you start me with the hardest hitting of today's headlines.
So before we get into the show, we've got obviously lots of things that we're going to be discussing. But your take on what's been happening over the past week? Lots. Politically, lots. Lots has been happening. A lot has been happening.
You a lot has
today
been happening.
The MK party are unveiling and introducing their convener, their party organizer today from the EFF. You saw that, I'm sure.
Yes, there's been a lot of. I'm a movie maker, but South Africa ki film. So the film has been going on, and yeah. We must sit and we must watch, but we must watch and take note because. Yeah, things are changing. Things are changing. I think we need to realize that we can't have the world the way we anticipated it would be when this year started.
Yeah.
And when we got to elections, we thought it was going to look one way and then it changed completely.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are now with a GNU. Is it GNU or is it not GNU? And before you know it, the one split you thought would never happen, the one key beating breakup.
It's a breakup. It's a breakup. We can safely say it's a breakup.
It's a really, really big deal breakup that you did not anticipate would happen has happened. And it teaches again. This is why I said we've got to watch, observe everything and take note. Because, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to start with a story that I think has been kind of in the background, but it's now out here. That's the story of the Stats 2022. We are scheduled to speak to Statistician General, and I knew I was going to struggle with that word, but maybe you'll get it right. Statistician.
Statistician
General. Rasenga Maluleke. But before we connect to him, I also wanted to get a perspective of the Professor of Demography at the University of Cape Town, Tom Moultrie. Thank you so much, Prof, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela.
So we obviously now have got Stats SA coming out and saying, look, we are not withdrawing any information. We were quite clear when we released the stats that they were not entirely complete. Your take on the data that we have not been seeing just yet, and they're saying, well, we'll probably release it. We're not going to publish it. Maybe, maybe not. Your sense on that, because for me, yes, we've seen this before, but the amount and the sheer volume of the data that's been withheld is quite vast.
Yes, there's no case in a post-apartheid South African census where this much data has been suppressed by Stats South Africa, certainly for the reasons they've given. In their press release, they talked about reporting-related biases, coverage errors, a variety of other things. Where there have been problems in the past, and I have worked with my colleagues on every single post-apartheid census in this country, where there have been problems in the past, data might have been flagged with a warning, saying, you know, use these data with care, use it with caution, you know, do a full investigation before relying on it. The idea that there are whole tranches of data which are not going to be made available is completely novel in a post-apartheid South Africa.
I have a co-presenter with me, Prof. Her name is Florence Masebe, who also is going to be weighing in with some questions as well, Flo.
Prof, if I'm hearing you correctly, there's a reason to be worried about what graphic tools where we can remedy this with certain non-reporting. He says they are not withdrawing anything, they are simply not sharing yet. So if one's listening to what he's saying, he wants maybe us to believe, and we will ask him this when he comes on, that perhaps the demographers that are saying that there's something to be worried about are making us worry about something that may not be that big a deal. Please tell me why it's a big deal.
Thanks, Florence, and welcome to the show. It is a big deal. We released, my co-author and myself released a detailed report via the South African Medical Research Council a month ago, where we pointed out a number of logical inconsistencies and incoherences in the data. Mm-hmm. The response to StatsSA so far has been to say it's all fine. They haven't actually dealt with the substance of our concerns from a month ago. And now on Tuesday, they say that not only that, but the crucial information, income, employment, fertility, mortality, are not going to be released. And they say explicitly that they will not be put in the public domain. So if anything, this amplifies our concerns about the quality of the data.
So, you know, he speaks obviously of the fact that, you know, there are quarterly surveys that we get to see. We've just seen the Labour quarterly survey and the like. But the issue here, Prof, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that that data on its own is not sufficient. The sample size is just not enough to give us the kind of information that we need.
You're 98 to 99% correct. Yes, as a country, we rely on the quarterly labor force survey to give us our estimates of unemployment. It's a very detailed survey, and the questions asked about employment in the census are not quite the same. Mm-hmm. But the difference is this, and that's what you alluded to, is that the sample size of the quarterly labor force survey is about 65,000 individuals. Mm-hmm. Covers about 65,000 individuals. The census covers 60 million individuals. And that allows researchers, policymakers, planners to really drill down into the smallest geographical areas and try and understand labor force dynamics, income dynamics, fertility, mortality dynamics in the country. And, you know, simply while at a national level and possibly at a provincial level, the quarterly labor force survey does give us our measures of unemployment, there's so much more you can do with the census data to inform policies and interventions to improve the lives of all South Africans, which is now going to be lost to us.
The data, for instance, on death records, I'm not sure I understand that they are now saying that they rely heavily on what Home Affairs was supposed to give them. Is that usually the case? Is that something that is, you know, we should be taking that and just working with that? Because my sense is that they themselves have not always been accurate.
Well, I mean, again, you've clearly informed yourself incredibly well. This is a crucial issue, is that we know that the reporting of deaths to Home Affairs and ultimately to Stats South Africa are incomplete. Not every death is reported. Mm. And one of the things which we use is the results of the census, where they ask, you know, was there a death in your household in the previous 12 months? And we use that and established demographic techniques to estimate how incomplete the Home Affairs system is. Mm. In order to be able to understand things. So to, in some ways, to say now they're waiting for the Home Affairs data is actually to put the cart before the horse. Mm. Because we actually want the census to be able to cross-check the Home Affairs data, not the other way around.
So, Prof, are you saying that the tools that the Stats A is saying they can use as their supplementary tools, basically going to the labor reports, going to Home Affairs, going to health on certain things, that those should not be relied on as heavily as what Mr. Maluleke is saying we should be doing, or that there's going to be a negative impact? I want us to get to the impact to the remedy that perhaps we should be considering.
So, I mean, Yeah, I mean, the first thing is that, you know, as demographers, what we do is we try and triangulate all the data sources we can to try and get them to tell as coherent a story so we have as much confidence as possible. Where there are no data from Stats SA, from the census on labor, fertility, mortality, or whatever, we lose the source of that triangulation, and that really is a massive loss for policymakers and planners in the country. Mm-hmm. What the remedy is, of course, is far less clear. Some commentators have said Stats SA should run the census again. Frankly, that is a really not great idea. A census takes 4 or 5 years to plan for properly. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't just go out into the country tomorrow and run a new census. Mm. Also, the last one cost 3.2 billion rand. We can't spend that kind of money unless you know it's going to work. So the first thing is to really say, you know, we've had major concerns. We saw the population of the Richtersveld double between the last census and the census. It doesn't make any sense. We've seen, you know, kind of, patterns of implied migration, which again don't make sense from the census data. We have a lot of concerns, and those concerns really need to be answered so that not so much so we can derive better estimates, which we might be able to do in due course, but certainly to inform Stats SA and for them to work out what went wrong in this census so that we can avoid those problems when the planning for the 2031 census begins in 3 or 4 years' time.
Are you saying then that so we've got to take this particular census and go, oops, and just wait for the next one being better prepared? Or are there little things along the line? Are there tools that we can bring in to say to remedy this part where the undercount existed, to remedy this part where there was quite a lot of faulty reporting and counting, we should be able to say we've healed it to a particular satisfactory percentage?
Yeah, and unfortunately, that ship has sailed. Of correcting this last census, it is what it is. Mm. And so, what that means is that, you know, when one is wanting, or if you're in a municipality wanting to plan the building of clinics or schools or infrastructure, or your provincial government wanting to do the same things, that our concern is that certainly at small areas, municipalities, districts, the current census is not reliable. And we, therefore, as demographers, will be working really hard in the next few months to try and come up with an alternative set of estimates, which, of course, government may or may not use, but which we think will more accurately reflect the state of the South African population. One of the things which we lament is the fact that, you know, certain crucial data on births and deaths as reported in the census are not going to be made available. Mm. So that we could actually try and come up with a better estimate of what the state of the South African population is going to be over the next few years.
Prof, let me just ask you, I mean, we've always undercounted from 1996, but 31% is quite, you know, it's not acceptable in my books, especially according to...
It's a world record we don't want. Yeah. The previous world record for an undercount was 21% in the Comoros in 2017. This was 31%. Now, the reasons for that are in part because we tried to run a census during COVID, which was a triumph, I think, of hope over reason. But fundamentally, you know, kind of that extent of undercount is unheard of in amongst countries which actually do that exercise to try and work out who was counted and who was not counted. And what it means is when you adjust the data for 31% undercount, it looks more and more like whatever, you know, factor you multiply the data by to make it look like the South African population. Yeah. If you're uncounted by 5%, you know, small errors, you know, 95% of the data would be what was actually collected. Mm. Now, we don't have that situation now. And I think that, you know, the realization and the acceptance that a 31% undercount is unacceptable. It's explicable in the context of a COVID pandemic, but it is not a reasonable estimate of the population.
So Prof, can I just be very simple and ask in simple language and try to wrap my head around this? Because we try to do this, and one of the reasons they give is COVID, as you say. But I'm just trying to make sense of this, okay? So we were all almost sitting still during that time. They come and knock, and they say they knocked at about 17 million homes, and in 17 million homes, nobody answered. right?
Well, no, I think they didn't even get to 17 million homes. The first thing, I think, one of the problems was that Stats SA first wanted this to be a digital first census. They wanted people to register online, to enumerate themselves online, and that didn't work.
Yeah.
Not least of all because of COVID and their media outreach, and there was a very limited media play alerting people to the importance of the census, and the portal was a bit clunky in terms of registering to do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a problem. And they then had to mount a massive fieldwork operation at short notice, which I think is a massively complex logistical exercise. It's said, for example, in the United States that the national census there is the single largest peacetime undertaking of the federal government. It is an enormously complex exercise. And so mounting a fieldwork operation at fairly short notice, it would appear that they had asked the National Treasury to roll over the budget from one financial year to the next, and Treasury had said no. And so they mounted this fieldwork operation. I don't think they covered the entire country. When they tried to work out who they'd missed, that exercise is supposed to happen within weeks of the census count. But the census count started in February and ended in the Western Cape in May, at the end of May. And so, you know, trying to work out where they'd found Florence or Pomelo in the census 4 months after the fact, when you go back to the same house, is actually a much more difficult exercise than it is trying to do it a week or two afterwards.
Mm. Well, I really appreciate you trying to break it down for us. Thank you very, very much. Prof. Tom Moultrie is a professor of demography at the University of Cape Town. Now, listening in to that conversation are many of you, and we are going to get to the statistician general.
Statistician
general himself, who is almost about to get online with us. But let me go quickly to Tebogo in Randburg. Hi, Tebogo.
Hi, how are you, Osprey?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I have a small question.
Mm.
I want to ask the prof, if these three departments, Department of Education, both higher and primary education, Department of Health and Home Affairs, are actually registering the numbers of people correctly, why would we need census?
Because they're not.
Okay.
No, but also we need to have the census so that we can plan for these three departments.
Well, also, let's also tell you this. Let me give you a practical example. Ne?
Okay.
Let's start with the Department of Basic Education. You do know that not all children are in school.
Very true.
You see what I'm saying? You also know that not all South Africans are documented.
And not all of them are in higher education.
You see what I'm
not
saying?
All of them have access to health care.
And not all deaths necessarily are reported.
But now my angle of thinking would be if these three departments or four, bridging the two education into two, right? If these are fully functional, especially in urban areas, then we wouldn't be spending as much money in doing the census in urban areas. We'd go to places where we know they are problematic in terms of these departments.
We've got the statistician. Florence is going to have to say it. But we've got Rusenga Maluleka, who's on the line, who's going to explain it all to us in a second, because I'm trying, but he's going to do a better job. Let's take a quick break. Thanks, Tebogo, for your call.
Welcome back. This is Florence Masebe, and I'm co-presenting today with Pimelo Mutine. And I'm doing this link because our next guest is that name that she can't quite say. We've got on the line the statistician general, Rusenga Maluleka. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much.
Good evening, sir.
For joining us.
Let me greet all the Kaya listeners and indeed the Kaya host staff.
Well, thank you so much for making time for us. Let's start here. I know you've been at pains to tell everybody that nobody withdrew anything because, in fact, in 2023, in October, it was very clear that you are not going to release all the stats. You are going to release what you're calling the census brief. Tell us why, at this point, you're coming out to explain what actually happened.
Well, why we are explaining is because there are some media houses that are saying that we have withdrawn some data. So we cannot withdraw anything that we have never released. So that is number one. Some media houses and some commentators have hold the view that the fact that we have indicated that some variables we will not release is an admission that the census is flawed. And I'm saying that it is not the first time in the history of census taking in South Africa, and indeed all over the world, when as chief statistician, you are saying that when I look at this data, based on how people answered it or in the way we got the data, I'm not going to release this data. And when we released the census results last year in October, the States Council, for example, said, we are advising states say not to release mortality data until they've done data confrontation with what we get from the causes of death records from Home Affairs, a process that we are still undertaking. We have never released employment data in censuses, the previous three censuses, because we say that the quarterly labor force survey is the most reliable indicator. So it's not new, and it's not saying that the data is not credible. It's how things are done. But also, one of the things is we don't just collect data and release it at statistics, especially census data. It goes through a lot of tests, battery of tests by ourselves, by local and international experts, and by the States Council that then advises the statistician general to release the numbers. So that they say we have withdrawn data that we have never released, I don't know where it's coming from.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you have never actually released the data that is in question. And as you're saying, the Stats Council did advise that you should not be releasing some of this data. But it should be a concern that you do go out there and do all this work, and so much of the work that you've already covered, you're advised by the Stats Council to withhold and not actually release it. The Quarterly Labour Force Survey, as you've just mentioned now, yes, is data that you release, but the sample is quite small, and it's not really quite a comparison to what you get, as you know, from the census. And so it is obviously something that we all look forward to getting the big bulk of the census stats. Are you concerned about the fact that so much of this data you had to withhold?
I can't say we have withheld so much of data. We have withheld some variables. Mm. There is data out there that talks to the nation, the national indicators. There is data that is talking to provincial, metro, and and municipal data. It's already in the public space. We have released it in October last year. So that is number one. Number two is that it's not the first time that we have withheld, or not withheld, maybe we have not released some data. The employment data, I'm glad you are making this point that it's a quarterly labor force, which is a smaller sample. Mm. But what happens is that, remember, in the census, you don't ask much detailed questions. You ask three or four questions on employment. Whereas in the quarterly labor force survey, you ask more than 100 questions. So certainly, another data is data on a disability. Mm-hmm. You ask whether there's a person living with a disability, what kind of disability. But if we had a special, a particular survey for disability, we would have to even go with health professionals to help us understand some kinds of disabilities that we would not be able to pick up ourselves. And we have hired nurses before to work with us in different surveys. So the point is that it is not peculiar only to South Africa when you say these variables we are not releasing. Income and expenditure. We have an income and expenditure survey that we'll be releasing later in November. Because when we look at the data and the amount of data that we captured as answered by members of the public, remember, everything we are having in our databases is what members of the public gave us. So if they don't give us enough information, to release such data would misinform. We would misinform the nation.
So, Mr. Maluleka, are you saying, as a South African, we one should not be concerned that these variables that are not being released are not going to have any impact on the overall planning for multiples of public services? Or is there a place where even you, as the statistician general, have concerns to say we need to remedy point A, D, or H?
Census or any statistical survey is like a snapshot. If I take a picture of you today, if I want to remedy the situation by taking a picture of you 2 years down the line and say it's the picture of what it was in 2022, it's not the case. So that is why we are saying that definitely, if we were saying we are not releasing this data, but we are not making available other tools or other data sets that will be used and will be better used, then I would say we are failing. But the point that we are saying, I can't, as chief statistician or a statistician general, release data that I can see that will misinform the nation. I would rather release this data that will give us a better picture. Then between misinforming the nation for the next 50, 100 years and between giving the nation information that will help us plan better, I would always choose to give the country the information that will help us plan better.
I think one does appreciate the fact that you've been quite transparent, even with the undercounting, and that, you know, it's not often that you find that there is honesty about the fact that, because these numbers come from you, that there was 31% undercounting. But I think you should also appreciate that it is quite a number, a high percentage. 31% of undercounting by your own account is quite high. Does that not concern you?
The first thing that I need to say, when you have an undercount, we need to deal with this issue of the undercount. Mm. An undercount, firstly, there are countries that do not conduct what we call post-enumeration survey. So they do not know what their undercount is. We are one of the few countries in the world that conduct that, and we know our undercount. It would be desirable to get an undercount of 5% or less, because then by United Nations guidelines, we would not have to do adjustments. But in all the censuses we have conducted since 1996, there has never been a less than 5% undercount. It was 9% 1996, 11% 2001, 14% 2011, and now 31%. But what do we do once we know the undercount? We adjust. If we were saying this is the undercount of the people we have missed, and we were not adjusting to give the estimate of the country, I would be concerned. But the fact that we apply a statistical tool which is approved by the United Nations and it's directed, of which we are a member, and we adjust and we give a picture of the estimate of the population, that is how we have done it all along since Census 1996, and that's how other countries are doing.
A jump from 14% to 31% is high. How, in your view, how did we do so badly?
It's because there are three factors which we didn't have in previous censuses. COVID-19. Remember when we started planning for the census in 2018, there was no COVID-19. The census was supposed to have been done in 2021. Owing to local government elections, we continue to 2022. So we had COVID-19. In previous censuses, we didn't have unrest. So we had unrest in KwaZulu-Natal as well as in Gauteng. We didn't have floods because we conducted censuses in October in previous censuses. In February, when we conducted, to May, when we conducted the census, in KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest, we had floods. We actually had to halt field work in KwaZulu-Natal. So those are the factors. And the fact that there was COVID-19, it's not affecting only the census of South Africa. If you look at the census of the United States, which they conducted just before we hit by COVID, and it was finished during COVID, they have a lot of challenges, sometimes far more than we have at South Africa. So the point is we have to make a choice. Do we wait until 2031 or we conduct the census now? We have conducted the census now. We have released the results, and the results stand the test of time, and they are being used for planning, and future generations will need them.
We, if we go back to the schedule, we are back to counting again in 2031. If climate change is anything to rely on, we will probably have floods and more other problems that are going to arise. What have we learned from this experience so that in 2031, maybe we bring down that percentage of undercounting?
Certainly, there will be other challenges that may be there in 2031, but let's hope we don't have a pandemic again. But one of the best lessons we have gotten now is that when you conduct a census in a space of a pandemic where people cannot contact one another, you need an environment where members of the public, in this regard, we had given members of the public self-enumeration, those who could enumerate themselves. But because of levels of of literacy, even if we had told the gogo or people in some of our rural areas, they wouldn't have been able to do so. But many did take advantage of that, especially in the Western Cape. The second issue, there's a matter that is beyond the same. The whole issue of members of the public, because we kept on announcing, if you haven't been counted, do let us know. We will reach out to you by phone or send you a link to enumerate, to self-enumerate. What happens is that we seem to have a nation that is not partaking in some of the national initiatives, and local government election, not 2021, local government elections, 31% of the population registered didn't vote, let alone those who didn't register and qualify to vote. This recent 2024 elections, 40% of registered voters, as well as those who didn't register but were qualifying, didn't go to vote. So we have to have a nation that picks up nation initiatives so that we can do better as a nation.
Could it also be that we need to communicate better with this nation and make sure that at the lowest level in communities, these important events in our lives are understood? Because perhaps it is that the ordinary Madume and John and Ngobile does not quite understand the importance of participating in a census for themselves.
Certainly. We have to communicate better. You forgot to include an ordinary Risenga. But we need to also continue to communicate better. And we appreciate that we continue to communicate through media houses like yourselves.
Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Risenga Maluleka is the statistician. By the end of this month, Stats SA will know that I would have learned how to say the word statistician general. Risenga Maluleka, thank you so much for your time.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.